Well, good afternoon. It's nice to be with you again up here in Paisley. And for a few minutes, I want to bring something very simple from God's Word. Now, I like things that are simple. I can understand them, and it helps me just to grasp maybe what some bigger things are. And what I want to think about today is, I'm thinking about the whole of the Bible, okay? And then I'm really thinking about the whole of human history. Now, that's a big thing to think about today, isn't it? But don't despair, because I want to split it into three simple things. And I want to suggest to you that whether it's the Bible or whether it's the whole of the human history, we can fit it into three different sections. And it's very simple what I want to share with you today. And the first thing is this. The first part of our study will be this. Jesus was coming. Then the second part of our study is this. Jesus came. And the third thing is this. Jesus is coming again. Now, I told you it would be simple. Isn't that good? We think of our Bible, and we start at Genesis, and we go right through to the end of the Old Testament, and that tells us this, and that brings something very simple from God's Word. Now, I like things that are simple. I can understand them. And it helps me just to grasp maybe what some bigger things are. And what I want to think about today is, I'm thinking about the whole of the Bible, okay? And then I'm really thinking about the whole of human history. Now, that's a big thing to think about today, isn't it? But don't despair, because I want to split it into three simple things. And I want to suggest to you that whether it's the Bible or whether it's the whole of the human history, we can fit it into three different sections. And it's very simple what I want to share with you today. And the first thing is this. The first part of our study will be this. Jesus was coming. Then the second part of our study is this, Jesus came. And the third thing is this, Jesus is coming again. Now, I told you it would be simple. Isn't that good? We think of our Bible, and we start at Genesis, and we go right through to the end of the Old Testament, and that tells us this, in that whole part of human history, Jesus was coming. Then we start at Matthew, and we go right through towards the end of our Bible, and we come to a period where Jesus came. And then we're going to come to a time where Jesus, as he said himself, and we'll think about that just towards the end of our short study, Jesus said this, I'm coming again. So there's something very simple we can all remember. Jesus was coming, Jesus came, and Jesus is coming again. I go way back to the first, and our first reading today is in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. And in Genesis 3 and 15 we have the very first promise that God gave to mankind that Jesus was coming. What does it say? And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers, and he will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. Let me tell you very quickly where that all happened in the Bible. Remember when we go way back to Genesis 1, 2 and 3, we have the creation of the world, and we have Adam and Eve as they are placed in that beautiful garden when all was perfect. But do you remember that day came when Satan himself came into the garden and he planted those seeds of doubt in the hearts and in the minds of Adam and Eve. And do you remember the liberty that Adam and Eve enjoyed in that garden? Go anywhere, do anything, apart from one thing. Don't partake of the fruit of that tree. Unbounded liberty, apart from one tiny thing. And of course, as mankind would tell us even today, that is the one thing that they wanted for themselves. They disobeyed God. And you know, we have three beings there in the garden. We had Adam and Eve and Satan, as he's visualized as the serpent. And before God brings any kind of judgment or punishment upon Adam, Eve, and the serpent, he says this. He says to the serpent, I'm going to send someone. And the seed of the woman will bruise your head, and you will bruise his heel. Isn't that amazing? An amazing grace of God in his wonderful creation, and it's spoiled. And God's first thought is for men and women that he's going to send a savior. The seed of the woman. And the root of the problem was the serpent, wasn't it? Satan himself. And God says this one who will come will bruise your head. And you will bruise his heel. We see the amazing grace of God. And God is really saying this. There's going to come a day when someone will come. And that someone will be the seed of the woman. And he says that special someone, the seed of the woman, one day will have his head bruised. And the Lord Jesus Christ was the one who was coming, who was going to bruise the head of the serpent. You know, the bruising of the head was something that would be fatal. And we who read our Bibles and who trust the Lord Jesus, we recognize that in a day to come, the evil one himself will be totally crushed. But it would be a cost that the seed of the woman, his heel, would be bruised. Not a fatal wound, but he would suffer for us at the cross. We'll see that shortly. So way back there on page 7 of my Bible, I don't know what page it is in your Bible, we have God's promise of intervention of that one sin that had come into the garden, the sin of disobedience. And God recognized that that would continue and multiply. And he made a promise, way back then, that he would send someone, the seed of the woman. So way back at the very start of creation, start of human history, and the start of our Bible, the promise is given, someone was coming. Now we have the Bible, so we know who that someone was. It was Jesus himself. And we trace the Lord Jesus right back, if we start at his birth in Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 1, and we go right the way back, we trace his genealogy right back to Adam, don't we? And we have the promises given to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to David, to Solomon, and right down till we come to the birth of the Lord Jesus. And so right through from Genesis to Malachi, the great promise right through, threading its way through the Bible is this, Jesus was coming. Not wonderful good news, isn't it? The grace of God, Jesus was coming. But you know, the next part is this, that Jesus actually came. That interesting little video. That was good, wasn't it? It just focused our attention on the fact that there was a time when God intervened in the affairs of men and he sent his son. You know, In 1 John chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, we read these words. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. That was John, the great disciple of the Lord Jesus, who wrote these words towards the end of his life. And he says, listen, we have seen and we testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Wasn't that what God said a wee back in page 7 of my Bible, Genesis chapter 3, someone's coming. And I almost think it's like the calendar and the diary and the clock of God himself. And as the calendar goes on, there was a point in human history where God said, now is the time. Galatians chapter 4, what does it say? When the fullness of the time was come. And there was a time when the fullness was ripe and Jesus came. We're going to be celebrating it, aren't we, within the next month or so. Christmas reminds us that Jesus came. God's interest and God's promise was fulfilled and Jesus came. In Mark chapter 1, verse 38, we read this, words of the Lord Jesus, and he said, let us go to nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come. So Jesus himself is saying, I've come. I'm the promised one. One of the carols we sometimes sing at Christmas is, come thou long expected Jesus. Why was he long expected? Why? Because he was promised in page 7 of our Bible, Genesis chapter 3. And all these centuries and millennium later, he actually came. Long expected. Come, thou long expected Jesus. In John 16, verse 28, Jesus said this, I am come from the Father. That's God himself. I am come from the Father and have entered the world. You know, when we think about this amazing thing that happens at Christmas, it defies human logic and understanding, doesn't it? It's a miracle. We're thinking about that in the video, wasn't it? The DVD. It's a miracle. God intervenes. But what does he say? God sent his Son. And why did he send his Son? To be the Savior of the world. I was looking at my little concordance and I noticed this. Jesus said through the Gospels, I am come. So Jesus is saying, Jesus came. And at least 12 times Jesus used that little phrase, I am come. And then there's also a little expression, Jesus being sent, Jesus having been sent. And we'll read that around 30 times in the Gospels. Jesus being sent. I am come. What we're saying? We're saying this is the great fulfillment of God's promises. All these years Jesus was coming, but here's the great news. Jesus came. So there we have it. Jesus came. We remember at Christmas time, don't we, that the Lord Jesus was given a name. And the angel said to both Mary and to Joseph, you will call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sin. That was why Jesus came. He came to be a saviour. Many years ago, some of the older ones, we used to sing a chorus with the children. He did not come to judge the world. He did not come to blame. Not only did he come to seek, it was to save. He came. Long time since I heard that chorus, but it just came to me just now. Why did Jesus come? He came to be the Saviour. Give him a name. Jesus, Savior. Jesus came. He didn't come to live and show us a good example, although he did that. But he came to die on the cross for us. And when we go to the cross, we're going back to Genesis 3, aren't we? And when we see the Lord Jesus dying on the cross for my sin and for yours, what are we seeing? We're seeing the seed of the woman, the one who was promised, Jesus was coming. We're seeing him on the cross, and we're seeing his heel being bruised. You know, on that occasion, all the forces of the evil one were concentrated on the Savior, as well as our sins. And remember how he died? He gave up his spirit, and he's laid in the tomb, and on the third and the appointed day, he rises from the grave, totally victorious. And when he did that, he bruised the serpent's head. He inflicted a fatal wound upon the serpent, the evil one himself, when he rose from the dead. And of course, on that day, when he rose again and went back to heaven, as he went through the air, and the Bible tells us that's the power of the prince of the air, he went through the prince of the power of the air's domain to the right hand of God. What had happened? He had proved conclusively the destruction of the evil one in a day to come. So Jesus was coming. The great promise given in Genesis 3 and right through the Old Testament. Then Jesus came. And this is the day we're living in. The time when Jesus came. But you know, when Jesus... Let's read this one together. John chapter 14, verse 3. John chapter 14 and verse 3. Now, when we're going to read this, we're thinking about the people that Jesus was speaking to. He's speaking to his disciples, his followers, who were in that upper room. Remember that scene before he went to Calvary's cross. And then he says this in verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions, many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you might be also. You know, the Lord Jesus wanted to bring comfort to his disciples before he went back to heaven. And he makes them this promise. They were the only ones who heard this promise. His own disciples. Remember Judas, he had left, that traitor. He had gone. And the 11 are left with the Lord. And he says, listen, I've something special to share with you. I've come from the Father. I'm going to be the Savior of the world. But I'm going away. And he says, here's my promise. If I go, I will come again. So there's the third part of our study. Jesus is coming again. I wonder how many churches in Scotland today will hear that wonderful news that Jesus is coming again. Not something you hear very much about, is it? Nobody ever thinks in living their lives in the realization that Jesus is coming again. But Jesus made this promise. If we go over to Acts chapter 1, some of Jesus' friends go with him out onto the Mount of Olives, do you remember? And he's taken up from them and he goes back to heaven. Remember I explained, we said that he went up and out of sight through the prince of the power of the air, his domain. And he goes up. And these men are starstruck and they're looking at this amazing sight they'd seen of the Lord Jesus ascending to heaven. And the angels come and they say, listen, why are you standing gazing up there? This same Jesus whom you have seen go into heaven will come again in like manner. He's coming again. You know, we Christians, we love to turn to passages in the Bible, like 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And it tells us then, we take comfort from that when we go through hard times. For the Lord himself shall come from heaven. It's to receive his people. And in 1 Corinthians 15, and it tells us that in Adam all die, and in Christ all believers will be made alive when he comes. And we have this glorious thing. And when we go right on to Revelation chapter 22, three times over, Jesus says this, I am coming quickly. I am coming quickly. I am coming quickly. And I think that's the second last verse in the Bible. I am coming soon. I am coming quickly. What's the importance of that for us today? Well, as we close, we want to ask ourselves the question, are you ready for him coming again? We've seen the need, the necessity for him coming, the promise. Sin had entered into the world, and we were hearing in the earlier service that we've all sinned and we've fallen short of the glory of God. So we all fall into the same category as Adam and Eve on that day, and we're under the judgment of sin, and each one of us needs a Saviour. We've thought today that Christ died for our sins, so Jesus came. Jesus was coming, and Jesus came. But he's coming again. And he's coming, the promise is given to those who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Saviour. And if we've never done that, never taken that step, we cannot have his promises. But here's the amazing thing. God in grace, way back in Genesis chapter 3, he promises someone. God in grace gave his son when he came to Bethlehem. And God in grace presents his son to men and women and boys and girls today, here in Paisley and down in Ayre and other places too. He's presenting him as the Saviour of the world. The Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. He's coming again. And are we ready for his coming again? I think one of the times I was with you, we spoke about John the Baptist. And John the Baptist's message was this. When Jesus came, he said to the people of Israel, Prepare for his coming. Jesus was coming then. And he says, you prepare for his coming. The Bible tells us very simply that only those who have their sins forgiven and place their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour belong to him. And the promise is given to those who belong to him, he's coming again. That's a great hope of the Christian, isn't it? He's coming again, and we hear so little of it. As we approach Christmas time again then, we go away back to Genesis 3, and the promise is given, Jesus was coming. And for all these thousands of years, the people of God, people of Israel, they clung to his promise that the Messiah was coming. Matthew dawns, Matthew's Gospel, and Luke, they tell us about the birth of the Lord Jesus, and Jesus came. But as we go today, we're remembering in our minds and in our hearts that, listen, Jesus is coming again. Am I ready? I think it's a sign you're getting old when you think in choruses you sung 50 years ago, 55 years ago. But we used to sing another wee chorus then, and it was this. I remember at the children's meeting, didn't they have lovely sort of screens like you have here and PowerPoint? We had an old sheet that we used to hang up on a pulley and these old 4-inch slides that we used to show. But one of the hymns, one of the choruses we used to sing was this. Say, will you be ready when Jesus comes? Any of you remember that one? Are you sure you're born again and washed in Jesus' blood? Are your garments spotless, whiter than the snow? Say, will you be ready when Jesus comes? Father, we give thanks for turning our attention today to the Scriptures, Thank you for the great promises we have there that Jesus was coming. We praise thee that Jesus came. We bless thee that he died on the cross for us. We give thanks that you are a God of grace who promises that for those who place their trust in him that they will have sins forgiven and assured of a place in heaven. And we thank you for the great hope of the Christian that Jesus is coming again. Part us with your blessing and receive our thanks for your goodness, for your grace and for your love towards us in the person of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.